Here it comes. And my eyes see Oppenheimer. Yes.
Record, hit record, turning on red zone.
Click, click, clack.
Click, click, clack. Coming at you. This is Matt and Bob. We're here to pod. We're doing an Oscars catch-up review here. We're going to talk a little Dune 2 and some other stuff along the way. You're listening to the Oscars. Mr. and Mr. Bob Pantalone.
Hey.
Pantalone. We just got you married, Bob. Oh, yes, the Pantalones.
Yes.
Live to the stage. So yeah, 2 weeks ago, a little fun, a little reverie in the sun here. Got you married, put down 5 straight days of nonstop drinking,
yeah.
And then we were able to shuffle off to a really nice Airbnb your parents had, and we rallied. We watched the Oscars. What'd you think? How was the experience as a whole?
The experience of being married as a whole was incredible. It was the greatest day of my life. You know, you hear it, and there's a lot of things, and you got to be right in a lot of the core moments where it's like the dress reveal, and obviously right next to me as the best man during an incredible wedding ceremony, and then you know, just kind of all those kind of hallmark moments along the way you were present for, so you kind of got a taste of it, but it really was. We started the day off. There was movies, because this is a movie podcast. There was a theme of movies throughout the day, as you might expect, because we started the day off as guys slow drinking and hanging, watching Wolf of Wall Street to try to get the energy going. So there's a movie there that kicked off the day, and then a lot of the photo shoot before we went to see The Bride was us reenacting, because we were all in black suits, reenacting the Reservoir Dogs walkout. So yeah, really excited to see the video there, because our videographer is spent most of the time making the Reservoir Dogs slow walk. And then
Could you get a video of my daughter when she ends?
I don't have time for that. We don't have time.
I gotta cut together this Reservoir Dogs bit.
I'm still working on the Reservoir Dogs smash. But then
you're missing the wedding.
One of my favorite moments of the day, besides getting married, was when we were doing the Reservoir Dogs walk as a group of groomsmen, and a man was walking through the courtyard, and he stopped and he goes, "You guys doing Reservoir Dogs?" We're like, "Fuck yeah, fuck yeah, we are." I'm gonna sit in home and watch this guy do Reservoir Dogs. That guy looks like Mr. Pink over there. Then the ceremony. I had Good Will Hunting in my vows. It's always been kind of my favorite way to look at partnership and love is through Sean's monologue about what real intimacy is all about, and his wife's peccadillos and all that stuff. And you know, the only way you're going to know is by giving it a shot, and whether you're perfect for each other. And then right before Brecken walked down the aisle, she had some music instrumental playing, but I get emotional even thinking about it. She played that clip right before, which was she didn't know that I had Good Will Hunting in my vows, but she's always known kind of what that scene means to me. So it was just a
speech.
Yeah, it was also in your speech as well. So
cribbing on both of us. Yeah, that was a touching, tender moment. I think it brought 6 grown millennials immediately to tears. nothing like a Good Will Hunting clip set to some soft, tender music to really get the juices flowing.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, it was great, man. It was very emotional. There was a very beautiful ceremony and a lot of fun. So yeah, you guys really pulled off a great one.
Yeah, it was
one for the books.
It was the greatest day of my life. But yeah, and then we finished on Sunday, the day after. We got a chance to watch the Oscars in person with some surrounding family members, all rooting for me.
I was really in the wolf's den there.
But but also I'm the underdog story, Hayes, because I lose every year. Mm-hmm. All of our rabid listeners know that. So you know, it's everyone wants to root for an underdog.
It was a lot of fun. It was some back and forth. I took all the short categories,
yeah,
which was exciting. I think I was right. I got Poor Things right. The influence of the international voting body, although and also the Zone of Interest upset was a fun moment. Although having said that, it then led to me losing my lock-in bet for Lee Gladstone. The overwhelming influence of these international voting bloc has really pushed up poor things. Yeah. And then, honestly, like, I got to give you credit for calling Cillian so far back, and that got you the win. Yeah. Not to bury the lead, Bob did win the bet.
The underdog.
I will be watching six Razzie Award winners in 24 hours. The most recent one being Pooh, the Horror Story.
Oh.
And then I'm really looking forward to Absolute Truth, a right-wing propaganda hit piece on Joe Biden.
Joe Biden rigging the election.
Yeah, can't wait for that. I mean, it's all true. So this just confirms my bias, but I'm excited.
Lock that in.
I'm excited to see a film from a true patriot. but yeah, it was exciting. I mean, I think we were both dead to the world, barely able to summon the energy to watch. But once it got going, I think our enthusiasm was able to rub off, and people for the most part kept their mouths shut, which
yeah,
I'd appreciate.
My glaring, shout out to, snarling glances at my grandmother and my mother. Shut the fuck up!
Yeah. Uncle Terry you know, he's gay.
Yeah.
T-Bone, he was able to kind of lock in. I think people once they were they realized the game was afoot, they got into it, and that was cool to see, because that's me and you we can kind of poo-poo the whole lead up, but once it's off and running, it actually was a great show.
I thought they
did
a great job. I thought, but Kimmel's bits were terrible. I think they really went super safe, old man pun humor. I thought that, but I think the memorable part of his show was coming out and doing the President Trump. I'm surprised you're still up, isn't it past your jail time? Just like recapping the tweet was just all you needed, really. And everything else.
Some great highlights. I mean, I'm Just Ken really blew the roof off the ceremony.
Yeah.
John Mulaney kind of stepping in, doing a little, hopefully.
Of course, you can't go back in Ghost Baseball. Apparently, that's a rule in Ghost Baseball, that if you leave to become a ghost, an old man ghost doctor, you can't re-enter the game. You know, I love Field of Dreams. That should win Best Picture.
So funny. Yeah, he's introing sound, and he goes off on this whole long tangent. I liked when they let the comedians do comedy. For the most part, it worked. I think Steven Spielberg.
Yeah,
was
we don't need Melissa
nice
McCarthy doing a terrible bit about right.
Yeah,
up.
Introing the screenplays, that definitely fell flat on its face. Like, let's do a bit where we pretend that we're improvising and it's bad, but then when we read the script, it's good. But the whole thing was scripted.
Yeah,
and it was just all. Pretty clunky, mm-hmm. But it was a little clunky to start with. But then after the half hour mark, I think it really kicked off some decent speeches. But yeah, a lot of these people have been giving speeches for like months, so it's like.
I love the American Fiction speech. If you wanted to ask me for my favorite one, where it was, "Hey, instead of making one $200 million movie, make 10 $20 million movies."
Love that. Yes,
I totally believe in that. It's.
I also love that some of the $200 million movies, Madam Web, these movies are failing now. So now, like, maybe we'll get more American Fictions because they're successful. And you know, you have the large format stuff, which I love that's now a big event. People are paying to see Oppenheimer, Dune in these large formats. And it's like, that's what's getting people to the movies. But also, I think there's going to be more, there's less of the IP Marvel shit. So hopefully. That's a sign of things to come, his speech. But yeah, that was a good moment as well. And then just to finish up what I was saying before, but you calling Cillian Murphy all the way back. I mean, I love that kind of took you to the win, because like I was like, I don't know, man. We got Bradley Cooper doing his version of Tar. That's going to be, you know, Oscars love a biopic. Oppenheimer was as well, obviously. But then I'm like, Leo in a Scorsese movie. I got to see what kind of buzz that gets. But you were like, you're all in. And that's what makes that's why we do the lock-ins. Yeah. Because like by the time the Oscars roll around, everyone knows who's winning everything, at least the major categories, it seems. That's why that Lily Gladstone, Emma Stone thing was a fun back and forth. And that was kind of came down to more of a 50-50. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there was some good drama, and it was a pretty solid broadcast. So I had a lot of fun watching.
Yeah, I think my ignorance to the awards sometimes, or just sometimes my extreme spontaneity, is a benefit, and sometimes it's not. Because as soon as I locked that in, you were like, "Hey, have you thought about this? Have you thought about this?" And I was like, "Oh shit!" So it wasn't like I had full confidence. Like I was like, "Oh, we still haven't seen Killers. Like, what am I doing?" But
we hadn't seen anything. That was the movie event of the summer. Like nothing had come before. Before that, there was nothing really. I mean, Air was the only other movie that was maybe anything.
To
be like, I just love that, like, the Barbenheimer, greatest event of the year. And I was like, yes, that's true, but we haven't started awards season at all. Yeah. I mean, and then that just was able to maintain that momentum.
Yeah, I think, you missing the really the big surprise and where it got you in trouble was the animation lock-in.
Yeah, well, I still would have picked Across the Spider-Verse, mm-hmm. even though I, because again, the international body, I saw Boy and the Heron and I wasn't a big fan. And then Across the Spider-Verse was one of my favorite movies of the year. And then the first one did win the Oscar for animation. And I thought the second one was better. The animation was better. So I think that's just to like, we don't like anything to do with comic books because we're snobbish French people, mm-hmm. and we're going to vote for this master. You know, no disrespect.
Again, the international body.
Miyazaki.
International body. That was the star. They really. It's different now.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So I think we'll keep an eye on that going forward. What was your favorite win? I think for me, that Zone of Interest upset
was my
favorite call.
And that was the right award too. I mean, I went Oppenheimer because I thought it would win, but when we talked about sound in the episode with Spencer Davis on our picks, like I was like, yeah, I mean, honestly, like I feel like Zone of Interest should win. And I really we haven't had a chance to really dig too deep into Zone of Interest, but I for as hard of a hang as it is, I really was taken a lot by that movie, and I think about it, it kind of hangs with me. But just kind of like some of the technical filmmaking, but also the message it was saying, and then just even learning more about kind of the state of depression that the Germans were in after World War One, and being able to kind of showcase that perspective on some of why the decisions and how people went along with this. And you know, it just be like this utopia, and you know, even if utopia is right next to hell, it's like this is still, you know, better than what we were in before. It was such an interesting movie, and the sound specifically, I thought that was a really cool sneaking win because you thought Oppenheimer would roll tech.
Yeah, right, and then it's like you know, you have some. You have a few of your champions. I think that American Fiction was a great one that I didn't go for, but love that win. But it's like when the should win and the does win matches mm-hmm. up, that's like a nice moment. Zone of Interest, it's so poignant as well, where it's like if our lives are taken care of and are going well, then we're able to kind of cast a blind eye to a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the war in Gaza, the rush, if it's out of sight, out of mind, you can really close yourself off as a human being, like the psyche of our race or species to be able to like not notice such deep catastrophe mm-hmm. and heinous acts just because we're taken care of.
That
will always be true. And that the sound is obviously the star of the film in many ways, and to see that recognized was pretty cool. Having said that, I think the sound in Oppenheimer was cool. Amazing as well. So it doesn't really matter who wins, but I kind of like the speech he gave about, you know, decrying the war and stuff.
Yeah, Devondre Randolph of the actors, I think, had the best speech. Obviously.
Most genuine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Talked about just, I was supposed to be a singer and I went across the street and I got out of my comfort zone and, you know, thanking people like that. Downey Jr. was, okay. The guy on film is awesome. Just him as a person and his personality, I could maybe do without. Emma Stone.
Well, he's so ingrained. He's like just such a Hollywood insider that it's hard to really have any empathy for the man, which I guess also speaks to how great of an actor he is. I think he blew his lot blew his load on his best speech, probably like back in the SAG Awards or even maybe like the Golden Globes. But I think he was tapped out. So like I give the guy a little bit of a break.
You know, and a lot of, if you sometimes this is a weird thing I do, but it's sometimes I go back and I think about a performance or I see a performance of an Oscars that I didn't watch or remember, and I'll go look up like what the speech was. You know, I'll go up like Al Pacino's speech after Scent of a Woman or something. And more often than not, they're thanking the producers, they're thanking their agents and their people. There was a running bit this year about thanking your publicist that I was like, okay. Yeah. But, you know, it's just like they're just kind of like thanking their team and maybe their wife or something or their kids. But, you know, the McConaughey like memorable speech moments don't happen as often as you think, especially from the performers. But I thought from time to time you'll get a nice one, and I thought Joy Randolph. I thought actually last year's speeches where it was Jamie Lee Curtis and Key mm-hmm. from the basically everyone that won was from Everything yeah. Everywhere. But hey, Mom, I've won an Oscar. Like those are kind of cool, genuine moments.
Yeah, I just think it has a lot to do with burnout. Mm-hmm. It's like the run up is so long. We talk about this constantly, but like. These people have been given like 8 speeches,
yeah.
And I wish they would save it for the Oscars, but I think it's like when they're it's such a huge event, the nerves obviously are the stakes are higher. It's more the prestige. So when you're amongst like fellow actors, like a SAG Awards, you feel more comfortable to give a more genuine speech.
What do you think of Pacino being like? Oh, it says Oppenheimer. I mean. Like what?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely felt like a fumble, but at the same time, you know, he's come out and said, I was not meant to read the nominees. You know, that's on the producers. Mm-hmm. Like they just wanted me to come out and say the winner, but him not saying, and
the
Oscar
goes to just being
to,
like, it says Oppenheimer. Like what it says.
So, well, cause he's like, all right. And then he's like reading the teleprompter and it probably says now open the card. Oh, so open the card. So here I go, and I open the card, and my eyes see Oppenheimer. Mm. Like, just come on, man.
Yeah, I just for that. This is a industry with a standard of like rehearsal, production, and like performance excellence. So on these biggest stages, to like not give this guy any sort of direction or coaching, not like maybe go over, okay, Al, and then you're going to say, and the Oscar goes to, like, let's do it one more time. Great. You're good to go. Like not having any of that. And then wander this old man out there. And it's you're supposed to have kind of almost like this drum roll. It's supposed to be this crescendo of a moment. And it's just like, and then we kind of randomly shuffle on stage. And it's just like, get your shit together. I've honestly seen like high school or college awards ceremonies be done with more precision.
Yeah, I wish there was like there was no sound too. The sound cut out. There was no like winner music. I think they were caught off guard because they were listening for their cue, right? The Oscar goes to or something. So it was just a messy. They keep trotting out these old legends to give away the Best Picture award, and it always falls flat. And it's like it's supposed to be the big event, the crowning end to the night, the nightcap, and it never is. It's always just like a bunch of producers get up there and the movie's usually already won a bunch of stuff and everyone's talked, so it's never the moment you kind of want it to be for Best Picture, except maybe when Parasite, I pulled that upset and that was kind of a cool moment, but